response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Producer Tanner Saunders says we're good. That means we're good to go. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly. I'll be in the hot seat 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. These are huge shoes to fill. Tom is a radio legend, but I am going to do my level best this weekend. News Radio 930 WBEN. If you want to call in, the number is 716-803-0930. 716-803-0930. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, it's the same number, 716-803-0930. It's so funny. Joe Beamer, I think, is deaf because I'm using his headphones. I drove in straight from Albany today, totally unprepared, no headphones, and my ears are blasting. And Joe was also mentioning the story of how he got a huge speeding ticket, suspended license. I got the heebie-jeebies. I was actually feeling some trauma there because I got clocked doing 90 miles per hour in a 30 mile per hour zone. And I don't recommend it, folks. It's not pretty. Right outside the Buffalo Niagara International Airport. Very nice police officer with the NFTA police. But no, I didn't try to say, hey, do you know who I am? Nope. These poor officers have a hard time enough, especially in this day and age of defund the police. I said, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. I complied. I did exactly what I was told. And shockingly, I did not wind up in the back of a car. I was not harmed in any way, shape, or form because you know why? I rolled down my window. I put my hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2, and I did exactly what the kind officer told me to do. Now, of course, I go to court. I knew pretty much everybody in the system, not going to say which town, but again, I never called in a favor. I said, treat me like everyone else. So I had to go to driving school, pay a massive fine, and I go on to live and drive another day. So again, Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I am the hardest working man in show business. Elvis has nothing on me in any way, shape, or form. Just this morning, I was in Albany, New York. I would rather start my car in the garage than say, hey, I'm in Albany, New York. But I was in Albany, New York this morning at the New York State Conservative Conference and meeting with fellow and like-minded conservatives and Republicans. Sat with Erie County Conservative Chairman Ralph Lurigo. It's held by Jerry Kasar, the New York State Conservative Party Chairman. Great conference, amazing people, great things on the horizon in 2026. And I always say, you know, there's three people I owe my political career to when I was Erie County Comptroller. Chris Grant from Big Dog Strategies, he ran my successful campaign in 2012. When everyone said, do not waste your time running for Erie County Comptroller in 2012, because I had to run 1 year to fill out a term, and then I had to run again in 2013. It was an Obama presidential year. I'd rather start myself on fire than as a conservative Republican running in an Obama presidential year. But Chris Grant, Big Dog Strategies, ran an amazing campaign. The second person I owe my political career to is Congressman Nick Langworthy. There's a lot of people who never, ever thought or wanted to give me a shot in 2012. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, you're the investigative reporter. You know the budget. Of course you do. But does that mean you could be county comptroller? And Nick believed in me, and he gave me a shot, and we won. And then the third person I owe my political career to is Erie County Conservative Chairman Ralph Lurigo. I ran as a Republican. I was on the independence line, which existed back then, and then on the conservative line. And I won the election, I think, by 13,000 votes. And I received 25,000 votes on the conservative line. So that's who I spent my day with in the morning in Albany, conservative conference. And now I am in the seat, back in the saddle again on News Radio 930 WBEN. So that's going to be a big part of the show today coming up. After we do traffic and weather together, Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker is going to come in and talk to us about that conservative conference and what were some of the messages that we heard about taking back our state in 2026. Chairman Crocker is also going to talk about big special election on Tuesday. And it's really important to know, because we've talked about it on WBEN, that there is that race in the 61st Senate district. Dan Gagliardo is running for the New York State Senate as a Republican. On the Democratic side of the aisle, it's party boss Jeremy Zellner. But you got to live in specific areas to vote in this election. And I was shocked. I remember when I ran in a congressional primary in 2020 and got my teeth kicked in. But I cannot tell you how many friends and family called me in a panic on primary day. And they said, your name wasn't on the ballot. I can't believe it. I tried to vote for you. I says, well, do you live in this congressional district? Do you live within this area? Well, no. Well, guess what? You can't vote for me then. So Chairman Crocker is going to be in to talk about that, too, about the importance of even knowing where your polling place is and things of that nature. Yeah, it's always a bad day when you wake up in Albany, New York. But I got a little bit of a shiner. I actually got a cut. I'm like, do I need to get stitches for this? I woke up and had to iron by my lonesome, and I thought I was slick. I grabbed the ironing board. I flip it. Like, I literally, like, try to be that meme where the guy pops the chair, and I tried to pop the ironing board. Wham! Turns around, smacks me right in the face. So I have a flesh wound from being in Albany. So I guess the moral of the story is don't spend any time in Albany, New York. But a great gentleman that I met for the first time, Joe Hernandez. Joe Hernandez is the Republican nominee for New York State Comptroller this year. What an amazing story. And I met him just this morning. Never talked to the guy before. He and I exchanged some text messages over the past few weeks, and I was really just checking in to see how his race was as the former Erie County Comptroller. So we've communicated via text over the past few weeks, and I just met the guy this morning in Albany. And he's going to be joining us at 5 o'clock to talk about his race for the New York State Senate. Now, the most popular Mihailu is going to be on the show this week, probably Wednesday. When I say the most popular Mihailu, it's not Stefan Mihailu. It's Ashley Mihailu, my wife. Ashley was on the air last week. Lisa Polizzi, our news director, had said, you know what? Ashley's amazing. She's a wonderful lady. Bring her on the air. I'm like, you sure about that? Are you sure about that? And of course, Ashley comes on the air and my phone's blowing up. It's like, oh, your wife is amazing. She was great. So Ashley Mihailu, the most popular Mihailu in the Mihailu household, she'll be on this week. Not today, but more than likely on Wednesday. People come up to me now. I was just in the supermarket and they said, hey, aren't you married to Ashley Mihailu? I'm like, yes, I am. That's me. Yes, I know Ashley. I'm married to her. So she is on this week on Wednesday. And the Super Bowl is this week. It is super. I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. Tanner Saunders, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Producer extraordinaire, are you going to watch the Super Bowl this week?
Oh, of course. I always, even though the Bills aren't in it every year, I still can't bring myself to not watch.
I am not going to watch it. I'm not watching the Super Bowl. But coming up at 4:30, do not miss this segment. Do not turn the dial, because we're going to talk about the Patriots mentioning Bill's Mafia when it comes to taking shots at us. And then we have nationally known sports betting expert Tom Barton. He's with Tom Barton Sports. You are not going to want to miss this segment. This guy is a nationally known sports betting expert, so he's going to give his hot take on the Super Bowl and the Patriots. So I mentioned that Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker is going to join us right now when it comes to this big special election in the New York State Conservative Conference that went on this morning. So right now, we're going to go to the live line. Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker. Sir, it is always good to have you. You are live on News Radio 930 WBEN. How are you?
Great to be with you, my friend. Aren't you all over New York State today?
Yeah, Albany in the morning. I smashed myself in the face with an ironing board, which is what everybody feels like going to Albany, right?
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what, Albany's a beautiful city to have in your rear view mirror.
When you're driving home on the thruway?
That's correct.
So can you, Chairman, and obviously there's a great, great working relationship between the Republican Party, especially in Erie County, and the Erie County conservatives and the state conservatives. So let's talk about this conference that Jerry Kasar, who is the state conservative chairman, hosted in Albany Sunday and Monday, where I was this morning. The foundation, Chairman Crocker, was really laid for 2026. How important is that to kind of like rally the troops and say, hey, we're going to fire Hochul, save New York, and win Republican and conservative seats up and down the ballot?
Well, first, I do agree with you completely that the relationship between the Republican and conservative parties in New York is critical. It's certainly critical here in Erie County. I enjoy a great relationship with my friend and partner in the Conservative Party, Chairman Ralph Lurigo, if not the one of the longest standing Conservative Party chairs in the state of New York, and a great ally to electing conservatives here in Western New York. And the great Chairman Jerry Kasar has been a longtime friend. Our state Conservative Party chairman. I know you got to see up close CPAC, the great event that they put on in Albany, and that is so important. And in 2026, that relationship is going to be key here locally and, of course, statewide. We've got Bruce Blakeman, who is going to be our Republican and Conservative Party nominee running against Kathy Hochul. This is really an election about saving our state for the future. You've got a governor who has dramatically increased costs, raise your utility bills, unleash criminals into the streets, made our state less safe. And then you've got somebody who is a county executive, is the county executive of the safest county in New York State, who's held the line on taxes and is going to actually stand up for working people and American values here in New York. So it's a very big contrast between the two candidates. But I think as people get to know Bruce Blakeman, they're going to see that this is a guy who's the real deal. He's going to run an aggressive campaign, and we have a real opportunity with the Republican Conservative Parties united behind Bruce to defeat Kathy Hochul in 2026.
And that's going to be happening, correct me if I'm wrong, Chairman Crocker, next week. Is it next week, the New York State, when it comes to all the committees come together, when it comes to the convention and nominating Bruce Blakeman for governor?
That's correct. I hope you fueled up the car on your way back from Albany, because now the Republicans are going to crisscross the state and head to Long Island, Garden City, and Nassau County for our state Republican Party convention. That'll take place Monday through Wednesday, the 9th through the 11th. And that's going to be a very exciting event. It's going to be where we as Republicans formally nominate Bruce Blakeman to be our Republican candidate for governor, as well as races down ballot for attorney general and state controller, which are very important races. But it's also about setting the tone and energy for the year. We have got to be, as Republicans, excited and energized. And I say there's no better turnout tool for the Republican Party than Kathy Hochul being on the ballot. And I know that our folks here in Western New York are going to be very eager to get out and vote to defeat her. And I think the Blakeman campaign knows that they can't win statewide without winning Erie County, and we're going to be hard at work to help make sure that they do. And, again, 2025, we had some challenges across the country as Republicans. That's about turnout. And we got to make sure that those who are fired up to vote for Donald Trump, when he's not on the ballot, you still make sure you get out and vote, because there are people who are against the America First movement on the ballot every single year. And I think that's holding true as I see the Democrats rolling out candidates for local office who are seemingly running campaigns solely about Donald Trump. So they want to run against him. Well, let's make sure that the Trump vote gets out this November.
Chairman Crocker, you mentioned the statewide races, and of course, Bruce Blakeman is the big one running for governor. But you know who I found fascinating today, and it was the first time I've ever heard him speak, was Joe Hernandez. Private sector guy, incredibly wealthy, grew up, I think his family's from Cuba, grew up under a communist regime, and is really living the American dream. This guy was powerful. And it's one of those races, Chairman Crocker, because even when I was Erie County Comptroller, it never got attention. The Comptroller races never get attention. But don't you think this is a great candidate to potentially like run up the middle, big Democratic primary? And this guy can pull this off.
Yeah, I was fortunate. We had Joe Hernandez out in Buffalo very early on in his campaign. He came out to Western New York to meet with the Erie County GOP. He came to our Christmas reception, sat with some of us at Republican Party headquarters, and told us his story. And it's a really remarkable story. He's a very accomplished individual, has degrees from very impressive schools that I wouldn't have had a chance to get into, has had a great private sector career, And again, as you mentioned, that that immigrant background and being a first-generation American who identifies as a conservative Republican and is going to run a campaign that is about lifting people up. And I think that's very important. And the comptroller's office, you know, anybody who's a public employee, this office is very important. Because what I've seen out of the left, Tom DiNapoli and others, is this effort to politicize the state pension fund, and that's one of the big responsibilities of the comptroller is managing the pension fund. And I would say this, you know, I think public employees in New York State want somebody who's managing the pension fund that cares about return on shareholder value, not on making political statements. You should not be using the retirement fund for the hardworking public employees of this state as a political tool. It should be about making sure that hardworking New York employees can retire comfortably. And I think Joe Hernandez, with his business background, his experience in Wall Street, and his humble beginnings, will be somebody who understands the value of a dollar and how to put that dollar to work to make sure that New Yorkers who retire can live comfortably, and then also does the job that you did as comptroller of being the taxpayer watchdog and weeding out waste, fraud, and abuse in state government, which, you know, let's be honest, this is New York, and Kathy Hochul's in charge. There is waste, fraud, and abuse behind every corner. So, very impressive guy. I think he brings a lot to the ticket and is going to show that we as Republicans are going to reach out to every community possible to share our message and get people on the team.
Yeah, Joe Hernandez, I'm telling you, he's the guy. He is the guy. He was really impressive. And now more than ever, we need a strong check and balance on the worst governor in America, Kathy Hochul. Chairman Crocker, last question for you. Can we go now locally? There's a big, big, big special election on Tuesday. Number one, most important, who's eligible to vote in that 61st Senate district? And from your perspective, why is it so important to elect Dan Gagliardo as our next state senator?
So this is a very important election, a very short sprint. We had about 30 days to run this campaign because the governor called the race extraordinarily quickly. Amherst, the Tonawandas, North Buffalo, Grand Island are all in this district. If you're unsure if you're able to vote, call Republican headquarters or better yet, call the Erie County Board of Elections. Tomorrow is election day. It's the special election. So tomorrow is your last chance to vote in this race. And we have an opportunity to elect an outsider, somebody who has created jobs in this community, somebody who's a working class individual who is going to Albany to fight for working people and put the partisan politics away. We've got enough party politics in Albany. We need somebody who comes in from the outside, doesn't care about party labels, cares about delivering results, making West New York more affordable. And that candidate is Dan Gagliardo. So I'm urging folks, get out and vote tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. at your usual polling place. And if you're not sure, if you're in the district, you can call the Board of Elections. If you need a ride to the polling place, you can call Erie County Republican headquarters, and we'll make sure we get a volunteer out. But special elections are low turnout. You know you've been involved in them. So every vote is going to matter. And I'm telling you, if you want somebody who's going to go to Albany not to be a part of the system, but to deliver for you and your family, you better get out and vote for Dan Gagliardo.
There you go. Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker. As always, good to chat with you, brother. Thanks so much.
Take care, my friend.
Greatly appreciate it. That's Michael Crocker. And then coming up in the next half hour, Tom Barton. He is a nationally known sports betting expert. He's going to give his hot take on the upcoming Super Bowl, one I am not going to watch. Screw the NFL. I don't like how the Buffalo Bills were treated. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly. Stay with us. I'm here till 6 on News Radio 930 WBEN.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your hair.
At some point in time, our beloved Buffalo Bills will be playing in the Super Bowl, and I believe it's going to be next season. Take it to the banks, folks. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up soon, he's a dear friend and a nationally known sports betting expert. His name is Tom Barton. You can look him up. Go to the Google machine, Tom Barton Sports. And we're going to talk Buffalo Bills, betting on the Super Bowl, and just the amazing and interesting life that he leads, that his job, his full-time job, is sports betting. If you want to call in or text, the number is 716-803-0930, 716-803-0930. And if you want to send me a text on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, It's easy peasy, folks. It's the same number, 716-803-0930. Someone texted in when I mentioned the story that I was doing 90 in a 30 around the airport. And it was like 4:30 in the morning. It wasn't busy traffic. I was late for a flight, which, of course, I missed because I got pulled over. And someone on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board mentioned 90 in a 30. No excuses. I drag race motorcycles, and I never went over 80 in my new trucks. Hope it was a mistake. Nope. Did it on purpose. Late for a flight. Missed it. And wound up paying a massive fine. But right now, let's talk football. And I want to start by talking about the Patriots. I despise everything New England. Now, as a kid growing up watching the Buffalo Bills, obviously, I was more along the, when it comes to the rivalry of despising the Dolphins, because for years, the Bills never beat them. And then, of course, it became the Patriots. But these dopes are going to the Super Bowl. It makes me sick that May is going to the Super Bowl before Josh Allen. And this is how badly we live, Bills Mafia, rent-free, and the heads of the New England Patriots. They're at their pre-Super Bowl rally. I hope they get their teeth kicked in. And this is what they said at their rally about Bills Mafia.
7 years since we last did this. It feels like yesterday. And you know who's not having a Super Bowl send-off today? Bills Mafia! All the tables in Buffalo are safe.
Screw you. I hope the Seahawks crush you in the Super Bowl. I hope you lose by 60 points. And speaking of 60 points, I wonder what the point spread is for the Super Bowl. And the guy to come in and tell me all about it is nationally known sports betting expert. He's from Tom Barton Sports. Tom Barton, you are live on News Radio 930 WBEN. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me on. And I have to tell you, nothing has changed with those New England fans, right? Remember, after they won their first Super Bowl ever, the crowd is sitting around chanting, "Yankees suck," as if they didn't just have a Super Bowl. I mean, yeah, they can't get out of their own way and just celebrate their success without kind of trying to drag on somebody else, right?
Bunch of insufferable ingrates. I literally hope the Seahawks, and I am not going to watch a Super Bowl, Tom. You know, my wife and I are making, Ashley, we're making Super Bowl plans. I'm like, no, you take the kids whatever party you want. I am so ticked and angry about how the Bills season ended. Referees, blown calls, inconsistent calls. I am not watching the Super Bowl. So I'm just curious. Again, you are a nationally known sports betting expert. So what was your take? Let's talk Bills now first about the referees, because a lot of people are saying, hey, it's fixed. The NFL put up a graphic before the season. Seattle and New England are at the beginning of that graphic, at the top of it and closest to the Super Bowl trophy. Inconsistent calls. What are your thoughts on how the Bills season ended?
Look, it was ridiculous. The idea that we don't know what a catch is to this day, after the Dez Bryant controversy, we still don't know what a catch is. And that's the thing. Look, there are bad calls, right? We've all seen bad calls. And I don't think it's fixed. I think it's incompetent, okay? I think that the fact that we have a $1 billion industry that has part-time referees is already the beginning of the incompetence. But with the Bills specifically, you know, the idea that they couldn't get Josh Allen a yard a couple of years ago, now with this happening, it's consistently the same team kind of getting screwed. I don't think that there's an agenda. I just think that the incompetency has lied so far in the Buffalo Bills, against the Buffalo Bills. And it is putting the entire league into question, where people are asking, is it fixed? You have NFL quarterbacks, people that played the highest position at the highest level, running to social media and asking, what is a catch? I don't even know what a catch is anymore. Think about that. We're watching and spending all this money and this time watching a sport where we don't know the basic rules because they're changing them as they go. The incompetency is out of control. The refereeing is out of control. And I know a lot of people said there's going to be an investigation. There should be an investigation about how can a $1 billion company employ part-time that are just completely incompetent officials.
Now let's talk Buffalo Bills head coach, because as much as I love Sean McDermott, he is such an amazing man. Highest levels of integrity, character. I supported terminating him because I don't think he is the guy that can take the Bills to the Super Bowl. And I wasn't really sold on Joe Brady either, to be honest with you. It's 3rd and 16, and the guy's calling one-yard screens. But after his press conference, the more I thought about, you know what? I think it's a great hire. I really do. It doesn't really, it continues the culture that Sean McDermott, the foundation that he built. It's someone who Josh Allen is comfortable with. So what are you hearing, Tom? Because you are very tuned in to NFL circles around the country, especially Vegas. What are you hearing about the Bills' selection of Brady as the new head coach?
It's not being received well around the league. It's kind of, I don't want to be said being laughed at because people do like Brady, but it didn't make any sense to them unless, and here are the rumblings, Brady said, look, I'm going to leave. You know, I'm not going to be here if McDermott's still here. I want my chance. So there are precedents to be said where you elevate the underling to kind of take the next step up. I don't think it's being received as well as it should. I think he's a competent head coach, or he could be a competent head coach. We don't know, but I think he's a competent enough head coach. But I thought McDermott was perfectly okay. But is perfectly okay what you want? No, you want more. And I'll bring it back to the New York Yankees because it's a New York thing. Look, I love Buck Showalter. I absolutely adore Buck Showalter. But the Yankees looked at Buck Showalter and what he did and said, you know what? I don't think he can get us over the hump. Bring in Joe Torre. He got you over the hump. Maybe that's another situation here, but around the league, people are just scratching their heads. Unless Brady said, look, I'm not coming back, why would you not have McDermott and Brady try to run it back? It's sort of the question around the league.
Yeah, but I mean, I go back to the Kansas City playoff game, you know, 13 seconds. You can't hold Kansas City for 13 seconds. You can't run a squib kick. I mean, so many different points allowed on defense. I mean, I get it. I think the Bills hit a wall. And from my perspective, if you're in the playoffs and you lose the last game of the year, then your season's a failure. Your goal is to win a Super Bowl. And I just think the Bills hit a wall with Sean McDermott. An amazing man. Love him to death. But I don't think he's the guy to get us there. So let's talk about the Super Bowl this year, Tom. Because obviously, again, you are a nationally known sports betting expert. If you go to the Google machine at Tom Barton Sports. So what's your take? Seahawks, New England, what's the point spread? What are you telling folks pertaining to betting?
Well, look, I'm going to be heavy on prop plays. Come around this time, at this time of year, I always ask the question, and everybody wants to bet the Super Bowl. Look, I'm on national radio to get my take on the Super Bowl. And the reality is, if this game was played on a Sunday afternoon in week 15, for example, I would probably lay off because I think it's going to be a close game, and I think that the point spread is absolutely dead on. The Las Vegas bookmakers don't make mistakes often, right? So generally speaking, it's going to be tight. It's going to be close to the point spread. Seattle is favored by 5.5 or so. I think if it gets to 6, you have to take a look at New England. In the history of the Super Bowl, the recent history of the Super Bowl, not for people like me and you, it's been close games. This is going to be the highest point spread since the Arizona Cardinals went up against Pittsburgh Steelers. Remember, Pittsburgh won the game. Arizona covered the game, right? I mean, 6 points in an NFL game is a lot, especially with these high-stake pressure and teams. Everybody likes Seattle. Almost 70% of the betting public likes Seattle. 70% of the money coming in is on Seattle. The world loves Seattle. Yet the line isn't really jumping. So it's a little concerning if you are on Seattle that you're with everyone, and generally everyone doesn't usually do so well.
All right, Tom, you can tell by my next question that I've never bet on sports. Actually, no, I did once. I was in Vegas, and I bet the Bills winning the Super Bowl. I put $20 down, but obviously it did not work out that well. Explain to our listeners on News Radio 930 WBN, what is a prop bet? I have no idea what that is.
So a prop bet is anything but the point spread and the total. So meaning if you want to bet on Drake May to throw 2 touchdowns, you can bet on that. Do you want to go out there and you want to bet on the first half? Oh, I only like the first half. You could bet on that. What about the total sacks in the game? For me, one of my favorite bets is how many punts there are going to be in the game. I think it's going to be a defensive effort. The total is right there, kind of leaning the under. But punts in the game, how about 7? Do you know that the New England Patriots kicker has punted 8 and 8 by himself in the last 2 games? So that's something that you could take a look at. You could take a look at, like I said, total sacks in the game, touchdowns, who's going to score. There's all sorts of kind of plays that you could go out there. There's sheets and sheets and sheets. Anything except for the regular point spread and the total falls into that prop player, prop bet situation.
That's fascinating. It really is. So now, Tom, I want to talk about your job. I know you host a sports betting show on Fox Sports Radio. You are the sports director of the South Shore Press. You are a nationally known sports betting expert. And it's just fascinating to me that this is your job. So for people not familiar, like, how do you make money on this? Like, what do you do? For our listeners, again, on News Radio 930 WBEN, what does it take to make a living by what you do? Are there a lot of extreme highs? Are you a guy that says, look, everything in moderation, let's stick to moderate gains? How do you make money?
53%. That's how you make money. I have to hit 53% to make money. And it is a grind. Look, forget about any movie that you hear. Forget about any kind of stories that you tell. This is a grind. It's every day for now more than 15 years for me. On my wedding day, I was putting down bets every single day. You got to do it to be sharp. And you incrementally go. Look, people think that, you know, you watch some scamdy cappers out there, and that's my name for them, that are bottles are Cristal and hanging off of a yacht. They're not real handicappers. Real handicappers are grinding. Hey, guess what? I have a nice win tonight. Guess where that's going? To my baby's food or my mortgage or whatever that might be. As long as you're making a profit. And that's exactly what this is. It's being profitable day in and day out. You grind away. You limit the odds. The odds are in their favor for every casino game in the world, right? But in sports betting, it's me against the guy that sets the line. Can I find an angle? Can I find an area where I'm more of an expert than him? Can I find an area where I find something that I can exploit? And that's all that this is. It's me against him, except him is a billion-dollar company with AI and everything else behind him, against me. And there was a report about 10 years ago, it came out, and it said less than 100 people in America are actually professional sports bettors that can make money on it. I was one of them. And I think that now with the legalization, it's probably even less. I would say we're probably in that 50 range.
But do people who bet, and again, I would not know the first thing about sports betting. So do people who do they have to be careful? Because I want to talk about that term that you mentioned, scamdy cappers. Are there scumbags in your line of business that basically make money and just they don't give a damn about who wins or who loses? And they'll actually say, hey, X amount of people, okay, bet Seahawks, X amount of people, hey, go bet the Patriots, and they just make money off both teams? Are there people out there that do that?
I can count on one hand how many people aren't that way.
Really?
I could throw a ticket into a crowd in a sports book and probably hit 10 handicappers, right, that don't know what they're doing. They're just robbing people of money, telling them they have inside information, telling them they have a rigged game or they know a guy, and they don't know anything. They have no idea. They're the honest people in this business are very rare, very far and few between. I didn't know this when I got into the business. You know, this wasn't my background. I was a radio host. And when I did get into it, Gaming Today in Las Vegas did a report on me. And they said, how can he be honest? I'm written up in books. How can you be an honest handicapper and make money? Because it seems so foreign because there's so many scamdy cappers out there.
But at 53%, so your record of success when it comes to actually making money, because you've got young kids, of like feeding your family, paying your mortgage. So for a professional sports bettor, your money, you are like the cream of the crop if you win 53% of your bets?
53% will give you a profit. In order to kind of make a living in this, you got to hit about 55%, and nobody does that. I mean, you could follow the people online, the athletes, the people that are claiming that they're you know, professionals, and follow them for the year. You'll find them in the 30% range, 35% range. By the way, they're actually really good anyway because you could just go against them and you're hitting 60%, right? I mean, you know, there's a way to make money in everything. But yeah, to be an elite sports handicapper, if you're hitting 55%, you're making a living. You're paying a mortgage. You're doing fine. If you're hitting anywhere close to 60, and I don't know anybody that can hit 60% long term, but if you're hitting anywhere close to 60%, you are of the elite of the elite. I know your name. Most people are going to know your name. You're in that top 50 people in America.
That's fascinating to me. So, like, how stressful is that? Again, you've got young kids. You mentioned you're betting on your wedding day, that you've got to hit 55% of your bets in order to feed your family. This isn't just someone going on an app and saying, oh, I'll throw 20 bucks on the Bills. You make a like, how stressful is that?
It was, again, somebody wrote this one time, and I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, and they consider this one of the top five most stressful jobs in the world behind aircraft traffic controller and heart surgeon, right? I don't think I'm up to that level of stress, but it is. It's stressful. You know, you have to just trust the process. And if you give yourself 30 days, 60 days, and you say, look, I know that my process is going to win over 30, 60 days. I can handle a two-game losing streak, a three-game losing streak. Wow, I'm running cold. I've lost, you know, five of the last seven. That's okay. As long as you know that your process is going to work out and you're going to make money, you can take some of that stress away.
That's unbelievable to me. I really appreciate this conversation, Tom, because I think our listeners learn a lot, not just about betting on the Super Bowl or Bills, but just literally picking your brain about, okay, what is your job like as you make your living by it? So, Tom, where can people find you if they do want to bet on the Super Bowl or they want to find the one honest guy in sports betting? Where can they find you?
Well, guys, it's TomBartonSports.com. If you go to the site, you get 30 days of my plays, every play, every level, every sport. There's no upselling. There's no commission. There's nothing. You get every single thing that I bet. You just tell me, and you put out whatever you want. You want to bet $5 on a game? Go ahead. It's TomBartonSports.com.
Okay, real quickly, Bills next year. What are your thoughts?
I like them next year. I already took a look, and I said, man, you know what? The NFL, if it is scripted, how about Bills against Giants in their new home, and they beat the Giants to go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, and exercise the demon that was Scott Norwood. How about that?
Oh, you had to drop that. You had to. This is former friend Tom Barton on News Radio 930.
I said you were going to exercise the demon, though, right?
From your lips to God's ears. How's that sound, Tom?
I think it's a good, if there is a script, I'll be with the good script. That's a Hollywood movie. Let's make it for real life.
All right. Works for me. Thank you. Again, it's Tom Barton, nationally known sports betting expert. Always good to talk to you, brother. Greatly appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds good, Tom. All right. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Stick around. Coming up in the next half hour, I just met the guy this morning, and he's just fascinating. He was so interesting. He is Joe Hernandez, running for New York State Comptroller. He is going to be joining us live on News Radio 930 WBEN. Of course, Trevor Howard is also going to have more information, important information. There's a structure fire in Elma. We're going to get to that, where it is, how it's impacting traffic. So please don't turn that dial. Hour one is in the history books. This is Stefan Mihailu live on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the song, it's all about money. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this segment. Live on News Radio 930 WBEN, this is Stefan Mihailu filling in for the great Tom Bowerly. I will be in this chair from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I would greatly appreciate it if you stuck around with me for the next hour. We got a great lineup today. And of course, people ask me as soon as I post it on social media that I'll be on WBEN. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, filling in for Tom Bowerly. The first question they ask is, oh, yeah, it's not. What topics are you talking about? What are the issues? Let's pick your brain on something. It's, hey, is your wife Ashley going to be on again? Yes. I think I'm going to bring Ashley on Wednesday. She was on with me last week where we talked about why on earth she won't cuddle with me, but that's another story for another day. But we're going to have some great topics. I said we'll talk politics and parenting. Ashley Mihailu, the social worker extraordinaire and now stay-at-home mom, but she'll be on this week. But for today, from 6 to 7, do not turn that dial, folks. Please do not turn that dial. We're going to Tom Puckett. He's going to be on the Buffalo Evening News from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then it's Will Kane Country and Western from 7 to 8. And then Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. If you just leave that radio on and go about your business on News Radio 930 WBEN, that would be great. If you want to text us, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board is 716-803-0930, 716-803-0930. Tom Barton Sports was on the previous segment, and a few folks texted in, go Seahawks, that's Mark in Buffalo, and then blunt and to the point, tell me how you really feel. Bills will lose again next year because they suck. I think the opposite. I think they're going to the Super Bowl, but that's a whole other story for another day. Well, speaking of the People's Republic of New York, we need to elect like-minded conservatives and Republicans to save New York, but it goes a lot farther than just firing the worst governor in America, Kathy Hochul. It goes much farther and deeper than that. There is a race coming up for New York State Comptroller, and I finally met the gentleman who is the Republican nominee and is going to be the official Republican nominee to run for New York State Comptroller just this morning. I met him for the first time this morning. Joe Hernandez and I were exchanging text messages before, but today I was in Albany this morning, and I heard him talk, and he delivered such an amazing, impassioned speech. And I've worked in politics, national level, state level, you name it. As you folks know, I was a spokesman for Vivek Ramaswamy's presidential campaign. I work for now United States Senator Bernie Moreno. I worked for Elise Stefanik when she was running for governor. I've worked at every political race, you name it, as a communications consultant. But when I heard Joe Hernandez this morning, I thought, wow, this guy is not only impressive, but I think this is the one race, one big statewide race that we can win because we have the right man and the right candidate. And he is on the live line right now. Joe Hernandez, the Republican GOP candidate for New York State Comptroller. Mr. Hernandez, you are live on News Radio 930 WBEN with Stefan Mihailu. It was like a few hours ago where I saw you in Albany this morning.
Indeed, Stefan. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm humbled by your introduction. Thank you so much for saying those kind words about me. And you know, my love for this country really knows no bounds. And I'm really doing this because I think the trajectory of the state is in a very dangerous trajectory. We got to change it. And I think you and I agree with that.
Well, I know who you are. I mean, we literally had a great conversation this morning. I heard your speech at the New York State Conservative Conference. So for our WBEN listeners who may not be familiar with you, what's your basic bio? Joe Hernandez, yeah, running for New York State Comptroller.
You know what? I'm such a lucky person. I started my life on the wrong side of the tracks, as they say. You know, I was born in Cuba. I was born in a communist socialist society, and you know, by the grace of God, you know, my father was thrown in prison in Cuba. I know that sounds horrible, but it was a blessing in disguise, because what ultimately happened is, you know, my dad was in a coma, and the communists in the 1980s during the Mario Botlif, you know, pretty much said, what are we going to do with this guy? We're going to send him and his family out of here. So they put us on a boat. We came to South Florida, and you know, my father started from nothing, washing dishes, my mom cleaning houses, and you know, they told us to get educated, to work hard, because nothing in life is free, and to love this adopted country that gave us an opportunity that our own country didn't give us. And then they said, someday in your life, you're gonna have to repay this country. And that's been the trajectory of my story, at least from the early beginnings of life. You know, professionally, I was trained as a scientist. I'm a molecular biologist with a degree in finance, and been working really in the investment Wall Street world for a very long period of time, and have been slowly in the background watching the craziness in the state, the abuse of power, the creep of socialism and communism. And I got to tell you, my blood just boils, because I can't understand how I left that society and somehow here we're reinjecting and reintroducing these crazy ideologies that rob humanity. I mean, it's just horrible.
It's absolutely bananas, because our backgrounds from being the son of immigrants, my baba, my dida, my tatu, my dad, my uncle, they escaped and fled a communist regime in the old Soviet Union. They were living in Ukraine, fled during the war. And now, Mr. Hernandez, isn't it just bananas? Because, again, your family fled communism, as did mine. And that's exactly what happened in New York City in the People's Republic of New York. They voted for an avowed communist and socialist. So when it comes to New York State Comptroller, how important is that job, to be a check and balance on Kami Mamdani and, of course, bigger picture, Kathy Hochul?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the reason I was motivated to do this role is it's really the kind of the last gating item, the last, you know, the last door we can close on this crazy ideology and on these politicians that are just out of control. And, you know, you can name a lot of them. It is insanity what's happened in Albany, and I would say across the New York State. And I think this role is really important because ultimately it is a position that's elected by the New York residents, and it's got full autonomy over really two major areas. One is the pension fund, which is a massive $290 billion fund that has a lot of firepower. We can do a lot of things with that. I'll talk a little bit about what my plans are for that. But also, you're the ultimate check signer for the state. So you have the ability to audit to make sure that fraud and abuse is prevented and limited. And you have the ability to stop contracts that are not in the best interest of taxpayers. And anything over $50,000 has to come through this office. And ultimately, if I'm elected and lucky enough and empowered to do that, we're going to make sure that we scrutinize every dollar that leaves the coffers of our state, because our taxpayers deserve that.
And can you talk about Mr. Hernandez? This is Joe Hernandez, Republican candidate for New York State Comptroller, that you are literally living in such a beautiful story, the arc of the American dream, coming from nothing, the son of immigrants who fled a communist regime in Cuba. Can you talk about your financial background? Because you've been wildly successful in the private sector, in finance. And that's what separates you from everybody that's running, is that you're not a politician. You know, the current state comptroller was an appointed politician. But isn't that what separates you, is your business and your finance background? And can you talk to our listeners about that, what that entails, what you've done in the private sector, and how that can help you as New York State Comptroller?
Well, yeah, no, I think I come to this with really the optics of a business person. And I think, you know, I think we need more business people in government, because we really are not operating government in an efficient, customer-driven fashion. I think we have to kind of change our perspective on how government is run. You know, as I said, I'm trained as a scientist, but I have a degree in finance from University of Florida. I went to Yale. I have a biostatistics degree from Yale and a degree in global health from Oxford University in the UK. And my angle on this is really, you know, focusing and using the limited resources we have to get the biggest bang for our customers. And I want to call it, from here on out, I want to call our taxpayers customers, because at the end of the day, we're customers. We are getting a service for the dollars we give to government. And I think that's the perspective we need to have. You know, I've been lucky in life. I started in the pharmaceutical world. I started working for Merck. So I was there for a number of years. And then I went to Silicon Valley and was involved with a number of transformative companies, including a company that developed the test for human papillomavirus, which is a causative agent of cervical cancer. And then I took that dollar and I do what we do in America, which is you double down and you keep moving your dreams forward. And I built a number of companies. I've built about 12 different companies. We brought five of those public on NASDAQ. So, you know, we know how to build businesses. We know how to create value. Now, we've had some failures along the way, but, you know, I think that the reality is in America, you're able to achieve this greatness that I've been lucky to have achieved.
This is crazy. You're a scientist. You went to an Ivy League school, incredibly successful, building multiple successful businesses in New York State. You are incredibly and insanely overqualified compared to the clowns and the politicians in Albany. So for that reason alone, Joe, I hope you win the race for state controller. So,
well, I appreciate it. Well, I'm just paying a debt back. I mean, honestly, if I was in Cuba, I'd be the most qualified shoe shiner. So the fact that I'm in this great society that allows me to do this, and I tell my kids every day, you know, my kids were born here. I have three beautiful kids, and I every time I have a conversation with them, I always say when they whine about their situation or whatever, you know, I say, you have no idea. You have won the lottery. The chances of you being born in America is less than 2%. You the day you were born, you won the lottery, and you should be grateful that is your situation, because we are lucky. We forget how great this country is. It's easy to whine, you know, about situations, but we're so lucky. I mean, we're so lucky.
So blessed. I mean, does it really blow your mind then, having, again, being the son of immigrants, your background, my background, that New York City just elected Kami Mamdani? It's exactly what our families fled, is what they elected in New York.
I know, right? It's crazy. It's insanity. I think that has a multitude of factors. One is, you know, these are very well organized organizations, very well financed. I would argue there's probably foreign influence there. You know, I have no hard evidence, but if I become comptroller, we're gonna open that Pandora's box and look into that. I think there's such well organized organizations that are driving this ideology that it's a little concerning. The other thing is we have allowed our kids to be indoctrinated in these crazy ideologies. And I always told my kids this. I said, look, communism has killed 100 million people. When you add all the deaths from all these crazy socialist and communist societies around the world, you can count 100 million people dead. What is socialism? What has capitalism done? The ideology that we subscribe to here in America? We have brought 1 billion people out of poverty. I mean, that is, I will bet on capitalism any day, twice a day, comparative socialism and communism, because the data is there. And if you really believe in the data, you should analyze that. The problem is our kids are indoctrinated in this ideology that, you know, that socialism and communism are options that yield value, and they don't. History shows us that it doesn't work.
Well, two more questions for you before we let you go. I know you're busy. Why run, though? Because it was a blessing and a privilege to serve as Erie County Comptroller for 9 years, and I just said, I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going to bang my head against a wall. You've been incredibly successful in the private sector. You can just basically live your life. So why run? Why do it?
You know, I was motivated by you know, and I'm a study. I like to study history and really the foundations of our country. And the founding fathers always had this belief that government like this amazing experiment that we call America that's been going on for 250 years. By the way, the most successful society, the most successful ideology in the last 1,000 years. You know, it's been utterly successful, and the reason that our founding fathers said it would be successful is that they believe in this concept called the citizen politician. This is what you did. This is what I'm doing, which is, look, you live your life, you succeed, you achieve, you serve your government, you serve your people. It's almost like volunteer work that you have to do. And then you go back to your private life. I really believe in that. And I think if we don't do something, if we don't stand up and try to continue this great society, this great American experiment that we've been on for 250 years, then who's going to do it? We got to do it. It's our duty. It's almost like military service. You have to do it, and that's why I'm doing it.
Amen to that. We've got 60 seconds left. We've got a hard break, Mr. Hernandez. So last question, how does your private sector experience help when it comes to the massive New York State pension fund?
Listen, I think it's such a powerful tool. It's $292 billion of capital that we can use, A, to get better returns, because we've gotten dismal returns, 5.8% last year. That's basically what Treasury bills almost return. So you could have just put the money in T-bills and gone to sleep. We're going to improve our performance. We're going to bring it up to 10%, which is what, you know, CalPERS and other pension funds have done. And we're going to use it for economic development. I am a big believer that we should be using that capital to bring companies to the state. We got to build our next generation of tax base. We got to bring in artificial intelligence, biotechnology, advanced manufacturing, robotics, aviation. We got to bring those companies to New York. And the best way to do that is to say, look, we'll invest in you, but you got to move your operations to New York. We're going to do that because it's important for our tax base and it's important for our kids. We got to create jobs for the next generation of New Yorkers. And I'm going to work really hard to do that.
Yeah, I think it's the race that can be won this year for New York State Comptroller. It's Joe Hernandez, Republican and soon to be conservative nominee for New York State Comptroller. It was really great meeting you this morning. It was great listening to your talk, and I greatly appreciate your time here. Thanks so much.
Real pleasure. Listen, thank you so much for what you do. God bless you. God bless the people of New York. Please keep the faith. Come out. Don't give up. I mean, I think, you know, for us to win, we need everybody to come out. All the Republicans, all the conservatives, come out and vote. This is a life-changing opportunity for us, and we got to do it. We got to win, because this trajectory of the current leadership is not a good one.
Got to save our state. Thanks, Joe. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate
that. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. All right. We're in the last half hour. We're in the home stretch. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly. I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on News Radio 930 WBEN.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I absolutely love this song, Peace Frog by the Doors. Now, I am a huge Dave Matthews Band fan, but that's like the one jam. My wife, Ashley, she's so sweet about it, but she says, honey, you're neurodivergent. That's what she calls me because, like, I listen to nothing but the Dave Matthews Band. Their summer tour come to Darien Lake this year, but I'm not a big fan of that concert venue. So Ashley and I usually travel to one city across the country per summer, and then we go see a Dave show. But it takes me back to my college days hearing Peace Frog from the Doors. Absolutely love it. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're going to close out the show by talking about communists and socialists running the city of Buffalo and Kami Mamdani in New York City. How's that working out for you, folks? You get the government that you elect. So if you want to send me a text on what are your thoughts about the fact that we have communists and socialists, Democratic Socialists of America, running the city of Buffalo and running New York City, the two biggest cities in New York State, feel free to send me a text. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board is 716-803-0930. 716-803-0930. If you care to call in, you can call me as well. I'd be glad to talk to you on the air. It's the same phone number, 716-803-0930. So I am in for Tom Bowerly today, Tuesday and Wednesday from 4 to 6. Do not turn that dial, folks. There's some great seasoned professionals here at News Radio 930 WBEN. Even Trevor Howard on traffic. He's breaking news. Breaking news. He was talking about the fact that, hey, that structure fire in Elma, it was over. He had some great reports in the beginning of the show talking about the fact that, yeah, the fire was on Seneca Street between Rice and Jameson. And Trevor just broke the news that, hey, fire's clear, fire departments have left, and the roads are open. And that's why you listen to News Radio 930 WBEN. But also, too, we've got Tom Puckett coming in from 6 to 7, Buffalo's Evening News. That's going to be Tom Puckett. I love Tom. He's such a great guy. I've known him for literally decades, and he's one of the best in the business. So do not turn the dial. Stick around for Tom Puckett. He's on from 6 to 7. And then Will Kane Country. He's on from 7 to 8, and then Fox Across America, Jimmy Failla, from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Producing this show has been Tanner Saunders. Greatly appreciate your hustle. Tanner, got to ask you a question, buddy, because Bowerly in one of the commercials is talking about weight loss, and I just know I've eaten like garbage. I mean garbage for the past like 2 weeks. I haven't been going to the gym like I should. And even though I'm on the fat shot, my diet has totally changed. Thankfully, I cannot eat a lot of that bad food, but I just know if I stepped on the scale, I gained 5 pounds. But you, did you run to work today?
Of course I did.
Every day. But did you also run during like the bitter, bitter cold?
Oh, yeah. All I need is like this, obviously the listeners can't see it, but all I need is this little Bills jacket that I'm wearing right now. It's got some fluff on the inside. I just need it for my hands. Like I tuck my hands inside my sleeves and then stick my sleeves in my pockets. And that usually keeps my hands pretty warm. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Once I can handle everything else being cold, but the hands is a deal breaker. So as long as my hands are taken care of, I'm fine. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but I was wearing shorts today, so
I can't do it. I can't run in the cold. I really can't. So we have a family membership to the YMCA. But Tanner, thank you for producing today. And one of my closest friends, I love him like a brother, Eddie Harris, is like, get in the gym. And he's right. I got to get back in the gym. Tanner, I'll let you get to that phone call. Someone's called in to talk about socialists running Buffalo and New York City, the People's Republic of New York. I cannot believe, and we had Joe Hernandez on, who is running for New York State Comptroller on the Republican line. His family fled a communist regime in Cuba. My family, my Dida, my Baba, my grandfather, grandmother, they fled a communist regime. And I remember growing up hearing the horror stories. My grandparents survived Holodomor, the wheat famine. They escaped what they just elected in Buffalo, a socialist, and in New York City, Kami Mamdani. It blows my mind. My family fled the horrors of communism and many others, Venezuela, socialism, and that's exactly what they elected in Buffalo, in New York City. How's it working out for you? They're not removing snow. There's water pipes galore. Big difference between pipe dreams and rainbows and butterflies and then running the government. And here to talk about it, we've got a caller on the WBEN live line. It is Jay in Amherst. Jay in Amherst, you are live on News Radio 930 WBEN. How are you, sir?
Good, Stefan. If you remember, this is Jay from Amherst. How you doing?
Good, buddy. It's good to hear from you, brother. How are you?
Good. Good to hear you on the air.
And thank you, right off the bat, buddy, thank you and all anyone who's worn the uniform and protected our great nation and served our great nation. We owe anyone who served in the military and all of our friends in law enforcement, emergency personnel, those who put their lives on the line to defend freedom here and around the world and who protect our communities. So what's shaking, buddy? What are your thoughts?
Thank you for that, Stefan. Actually, I think about that all the time, how... Yeah, we used to have bumper stickers in the city of Buffalo. Pay cops like your life depended upon it, and it was like this pro-union thing. But the reality is even the entire Democrat Party has just walked away from any support of law enforcement. But you were mentioning this newfound thing where we're getting Democrat socialists in elected office, and who would have thought we'd ever get there? My take and interpretation, it goes back, if I can go back one step, when Trump was first running in 2016, people would ask me, what is going on with this, and he was polling at 15%, 20%, and I said, well, you guys, the Democrats, you had Obama, this is kind of a reaction to the 8 years that you had with him. And that's how I saw that. But, Trump isn't to the right of anything. He's just doing what he's laid out as MAGA or his vision and his form of leadership. But on the other side of the aisle, it looks like this might be a pushback to Trump. But I want to qualify that. Because, there was Obama as president, Trump might have been the reaction. But this growth of Democrat socialism has been happening in the background for 60-plus years. So it's not a reaction. It really isn't. It's not a reaction to Trump. It is. We're going to see more of it. And I want your take on that. I think it's just going to continue to grow. Eventually, there will be a pushback against it. But I think we're just going to see more of it grow for a good period of time. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think they're not afraid anymore. I think there's so many Democrats have shifted. It's not the same state, Jay, when Governor Pataki won his election for New York governor. It's not. I mean, the numbers are staggering. So before, I mean, pardon the expression, but I think socialists, like hardcore socialists, communists, they're basically almost, for lack of a better phrase, in the closet. Like they weren't outwardly saying, oh, yeah, this is what I believe. I'm a Democrat. Now they're out loud and proud. They elected Kami Mamdani. So there is no shame in their game. They are loud and proud about being socialists and communists. And I think it kind of festered of not being so bold about it. And now they wear it like a badge of honor. And it's just crazy to me, Jay. It really is.
Well, we could talk some other time, but it's been probably since the late 50s. Once McCarthyism went away, there was a regrouping amongst people that believe in anarchy, believe in socialism, communism, Marxism. They've all refined their toolbox, and have really, yeah, like you said, they stayed quiet. They stayed in the closet. But boy, have they been executing over the last 15, 20 years. And, you know, with the voters, they might think they're reacting to Trump or feel that way, but they're really jumping on a bandwagon that is 60, 70 years in the making, and quietly. But now, it's a real thing. I mean, it is not a reaction to Trump, you know, Mondami.
Sadly for the voters of New York, sadly for all of us. But all right, Jay, greatly appreciate you calling again. And again, thank you for your service, and thank everyone who's worn that uniform. It's really good to chat with you, brother. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, see you, buddy. Yeah, we got some people lighting up the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. That number is 716-803-0930. 716-803-0930. Someone texts in and says, hey, just we throw out these names, socialism, communism. So, like, what's the difference here? And there's a big one, basically. You know, in socialism, it's basically the government manages some sections of the economy, healthcare, education. But here's a big difference. In socialism, people can still own property. You can own a house, you can own property, you can own a business. But communism, which Joe Hernandez, running for state controller, is Republican. His family fled a communist regime in Cuba. My family fled a communist regime in Ukraine with the being run by the Soviet Union. Basically, communism goes a lot farther, though. Basically, the government controls everything. No private ownership. None of that. So basically, socialism is like the leads to the horrors of communism. And that's what we got in lovely New York City. And how's that working out for you, folks? Oh, we got people calling in. The text board's going up. How's that working out for you in Buffalo, in New York City? On the text board, basically, saying, hey, the new mayor claimed he's going to remove snow properly. So far, Main Street is a nightmare near the campus. It's dangerous. Pure campaign lies. I work at Canisius. It's really bad. The administration failed. Yeah, look at New York City right now. In New York City, there is garbage piling up all over the streets of the Big Apple. They are still digging out snow in the Big Apple. It is an absolute raging dumpster fire in New York City. So guess what? You get the government you deserve. So I don't hear anybody in New York City bitching and moaning. I mean, 14 people have died. 14 people have died in the Big Apple in New York City during this cold snap and during this storm. So you know what, Kami Mamdani? There is a huge difference. And trust me, I know. There is a huge difference in running for an office and then actually running the office. This guy, Kami Mamdani, had no private sector experience whatsoever. He was a New York State Assemblyman. And his main job, if you want to call it that, the guy has rich parents. He lived off of both of them as a community organizer. That's exactly what his job was. And now he's running New York City. He is getting a honeymoon from the New York City media. And the fact that there are 14 people who died. Horrifically, many were homeless and living on the street. But you know what? He didn't wave the magic wand of rainbows and butterflies and socialism and government's going to provide for everyone. 14 people are dead on his watch in New York City because it was cold outside. They are still digging out their streets in New York City in the Big Apple. Just last week, I drove through the city of Buffalo, and I would rather set myself on fire than drive into the city of Buffalo. I work from home. I live in Elma, but I had to drive into the city to get some work done. And I was on side streets in the Riverside section of the city. Had to go to an event for Dan Gagliardo. He's running for New York State Senate, special election tomorrow. And I thought, my Lord, it's been days since it snowed. And some of the side streets, smaller side streets, it didn't look like a single plow went through. People in Buffalo justifiably are angry about this massive water main break that still hasn't been cleaned up. So folks, you get the government that you elect. What were you expecting? You elected these democratic socialists. You elected communists. These are the groups and political parties that my family fled. That's what's so mind-blowing to me. I grew up hearing about the horrors of communism. Again, I mentioned the Holodomor, the wheat famine, where millions of Ukrainians were starved to death. And that scumbag, horrific Stalin basically hoarded all of the wheat from farmers in Ukraine and starved Ukrainians to death. This is what happened in communism. I know a very dear friend of mine. We jokingly call all of our Ukrainian family OTBers, off the boat. So you want to talk about how horrific communism is. This individual's parents, their family, were living. Again, my grandparents survived the Holodomor, and I couldn't understand why. My Baba, my Dida were just so adamant about never wasting food because millions of Ukrainians starved to death. So this individual's spouse, his wife, her family survived Holodomor. In their Ukrainian village, they had a lottery. You didn't want to win this lottery. You know why? Because the person who won the lottery is the person they were going to consume, the person they were going to eat. Cannibalism. They did that to survive under the horrors of communism. And that's what you just elected in New York City. I heard those horror stories when I was a child in my grandparents' home on the east side of Buffalo. We grew up at William and Fillmore, Steuben Alley, which again was another one of those smaller side streets that never got plowed. And a lot of these streets are still not getting plowed in the city of Buffalo. They went through hell, my family, to escape a communist regime, to come to the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. I am living the arc of the American dream. I am living the life because they provided it for me by escaping the horrors of communism and a world war. I thank God every single day that I live in the greatest damn country in the world, the United States of America. But in New York, they're going backwards. They're electing the same people that my family fled to run the two biggest cities in New York, Buffalo and New York City. And how is that working out so far? 14 dead in New York City because it's cold outside. They still can't plow the streets in Buffalo. They're still not plowing the streets in New York City. I hope the Big Apple turns into a raging dumpster fire because you know what? You deserve it. You elect Kami Mamdani. You elect an avowed communist. You get what you deserve. You get the government that you elect. So buckle up, Buffalo. Buckle up, New York, because we are the ones who are literally and figuratively going to pay for what we've elected in Buffalo and New York City. Because guess where a majority of the budget and the money comes from? You guessed it. The suckers across New York State. All of our tax dollars will be bailing out Buffalo and bailing out New York City and paying for all the billions of dollars in a bloated state budget. But you deserve it because that's what you elected and that's the government you're going to get. Well, on that lovely note, my time is wrapped up here on News Radio 930 WPEN. Producing today, I love the guy. Great guy. Seasoned pro. Tanner Saunders was our producer here. Tanner, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it with you. And you're with me Tuesday and Wednesday, correct?
Oh, yeah. We had so much fun today. Let's run it back Tuesday and Wednesday.
Let's do it again, Tanner. Yeah, this is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly. The past 2 hours, I'm back in the saddle again on Tuesday and Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Up next is Tom Puckett, Buffalo's Evening News. This is Stefan Mihailu filling in for Tom Bowerly at News Radio 930 WBEN.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.